Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You will never guess who reads the Bible more than you do. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've got
Hey, ho, ho, Wretched Radio's gotta go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Wretched Radio's gotta
Stop
go.
It.
Hey,
no
hey.
More disruptions. No hey, more hey. Protests. No
okay.
more disruptions.
Hold
Wretched
on.
Radio's gotta go.
Jenna,
hey,
stop.
What?
Stop the insanity. Is it just me? Or have we all had enough of the protests? They abound. For instance, here's a protest of a pastor who is sleeping outside of his own church. So he's protesting his own church.
Oh.
Students at CSULA, that would be your California State University, Los Angeles, or something like that, they're protesting and sitting outside of the office of the president demanding his resignation. The protests are happening every place, including at the National Religious Broadcasters Association convention. I had the opportunity to speak to a private group there, the board of directors. That wasn't intimidating or anything, just last week, and I missed it. I went home on Tuesday, and it turns out on Wednesday they had themselves a good old-fashioned protest. Can this trend stop? Can we just put an end to this and say, been there, done that, seen enough, bad manners, let's try something else. We've got the internet. Write your little blogs, but quit wrecking everything. Joining us to give us the various and sundry details of what happened at the National Religious Broadcasters right after I left the place is broadcaster, and she's also a part of the National Religious Broadcasters, Janet Mefford herself, who is heard daily on stations around the country. You can visit her website. Janet Mefford is the name. Now, that's going to require some spelling. We've got some vowel issues. It's M-E-P-H-E-R-D, right, Janet?
You're close.
P is in pneumonia. M-E-F-F-E-R-D. Janet, thank you for being with us today. Very, very grateful. So give us the scoop. What happened at the NRB?
Oh, I'm so bummed out that you weren't there, Todd, because you would have had a blast watching this whole thing unfold.
Oh,
but
sure.
I actually had a little bit of an inkling this was going to be taking place. I tend to follow these activists on social media, so I know what they're up to. They think they're the only ones tracking us, but in fact, we track them too.
Well, they're tracking us.
Yeah, of course.
Sure, this is spiritual warfare we're dealing with here.
Absolutely. And I had seen something on social media, one of these activists who runs a group called Faithfully LGBT. This is one of these so-called gay Christian organizations. And he had put out a picture of two women kissing inside the Gaylord, which was the big hotel in Nashville where the NRB convention took place. And I turned to my husband and I said, they're going to do something at NRB. They're going to do something.
And at this moment, I just have to rebuke anybody who is listening. Please repent of the joke you made about the two women kissing at the Gaylord Hotel.
Sorry.
So just go to the repentance corner, take care of business, and then join us again to listen to Janet Mefford continue her story. I thought it was Soul Force who invaded the worship service.
It was actually a group called Know Your Neighbors. This is a collaboration between some LGBT groups. Soul Force was one of them, and another one is a far-left group called Political Research Associates. And one of the pro-homosexual publications listed this as having a mission of stopping the global culture wars here at home, which I guess means we all have to come over to their side or else.
Oh, yeah.
So that's who it was.
Well, stopping the global culture wars by having total and utter victory.
Right.
They want to annihilate us more than Cruz wants to take on the terrorists.
Yes. Yes. So Wednesday night was this public worship service at NRB. I was there with my family, and they had Michael W. Smith there, and he finished singing. And then Rick Warren got up there, and he got about two sentences out of his mouth, and all of a sudden there was a group of about two dozen protesters who started singing, I'm in the Lord's Army, ending with the rallying cry, yes, ma'am, instead of yes, sir. And I wasn't quite sure what this was supposed to mean, except there it was their gender binary outrage. And I turned to my husband. I said, right on schedule. So they were in for a few minutes, and they agitated, and they had banners. And then they walked out of the auditorium, and I followed them, and I started filming them on my cell phone.
Excellent.
Because I said, I want to know what I'm just going to watch and see what they do, because I know what they'll do. They'll after this whole thing is over, they'll go online and they'll lie about what happened. So I'm going to get some recording done here. And they just yelled and agitated and chanted, and then they all held hands and said they were praying. But it was kind of incoherent of what they were saying. And finally, one of the activists, they went on for about 15 minutes. The security guards were there, but they didn't do anything. They just let them do what they were doing. And finally, one of the activists started yelling at us and calling us Pharisees and kind of ramping up the rhetoric. And at that point, they kind of escorted them off. But what the narrative became afterward on social media was, we were worshiping at NRB, and we got kicked out for worshiping.
Of course.
Not quite. That's not quite what happened.
No, they were disrupting a worship service. They were asked to leave and stop disrupting, and they're the victims, and right. We are the bad guys.
Right.
Excellent.
Right. Yeah, and it should be noted that these horrible things that they were accusing NRB of, they never quite articulated to anybody who was standing around listening to them.
Now,
they never tried to talk to any of us.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, why didn't somebody engage them and say, hey, okay, look, we're doing a worship service. Clearly, you've got yourself some concerns. Let's talk. Why didn't that happen?
That's a great question. I thought about that myself. The reason I didn't do it is because I had my kids with me. And my youngest was crying and very, very upset. And I thought, if I'm going to do anything, I'm just going to film. And a few Christians said a few things to them, but, you know, it kind of broke up the whole session. And a lot of these Christians who have never really encountered gay activists face-to-face were so stunned they didn't know what to say.
Jen, if you can, try to be as objective as possible. This whole protest thing, I have to confess to you, I'm a little weary. I think it's tedious at this point. There's got to be a more mature way to make a point. As best you can, was their tone respectful, considerate, aggressive, violent, angry? What would you say the overall mood was of the protesters?
It was very in-your-face, aggressive, angry. You know, that was basically what. No, it was not respectful. It was not interested in dialogue or handshaking and going back and forth. Not at all. It was just agitation was the whole end game of the whole thing. They had no interest in dialogue. They were there to condemn us and let them know,
and let us know
that they're there. Yeah.
If they didn't articulate a message, again, I know this is somewhat speculative, do you think that their intention was mere intimidation?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so it wasn't to persuade, it wasn't to dialogue, it was to let you know, we're here, we're loud, and we're not putting up with you people.
That's exactly what it was, and it's reminiscent of, they've done this on a number of occasions, one of which was, you may recall this a few months back, where you had Bruce Jenner and some of his friends going to Ed Young's church in Houston, Second Baptist Church in Houston, because Ed Young had fought so hard to get that bathroom bill overturned. And they showed up in his church. But, I mean, this is not the first time this has happened, but I do think it may be indicative of a trend where they will do it more. And my daughter even said to me, Todd, she said afterwards, my oldest daughter, Mom, I don't understand. They always said if they could just get marriage that they'd be happy. And she said, they got it. So what's their beef? And I said, well, their beef is that God still exists.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the problem. And sin is still sin. And they're never going to get over that.
That's right. And besides that, I think they would not express that, obviously. We know that's what's the subtext and what the core of the issue is. Janet, I think the desire is to silence debate. This will not be like Roe v. Wade. We will not have ongoing polling and discussions. We have settled the issue, and we will move on, and there will be no dissent. They do not want this to be a can of worms that is constantly opened up by Christians.
No, that's right. That's exactly what it's about, and I think they take advantage of Christians who are not wise to their tactics, who tend to take the bait that Christians have been mean to us, and you have abused us, and you have hurt us, And then you get into apology mode, and at some point you go, why am I apologizing? I didn't do anything wrong to them. I don't even know these people. But that's what they use. It's kind of the propaganda they use to get Christians in a defensive posture, when in fact that's just a way of letting the cultural Marxism steamroller continue to plow everybody down.
You know, Janet, I have to confess, when I hear terms like LGBTQ fascists or Marxists, there's a part of me inside that goes, oh, because it seems like name calling.
Yeah.
But increasingly, I think that term is accurate.
Yeah.
You can call a fool a fool if he's a fool. And it seems that that is exactly the way they're behaving.
That is the way they're behaving. And the problem is that you need to draw the distinction between the homosexual who may go to school with you or live down the block from you, who's a perfectly nice person, and then differentiate those people from the activists. There are a lot of people who are practicing homosexuals who are embarrassed by what the activists do and don't agree with what the activists do. But the activists themselves are absolutely deserving of the title homo fascist. That's what they do. If you look at what they do, that's exactly, I think, what they ought to be called. And I, not to name call, but they're totalitarian. That's what they are.
We're on the telephone with Janet Mefford, M-E-F-F-E-R-D. If you are not familiar with Janet, she does a most outstanding radio program, JanetMefford.com, and you can find out more information about a station near you. Janet was at the NRB convention when some gay activists decided, we're just going to overturn this little worship service and make a scene, giving us the details. Janet, are you familiar, with the exception of the Westboro Baptists, who aren't Christian at all, are you familiar with any Christian organizations that use disruption and protest as their modus operandi?
No, I am not. No.
Me neither. Now, I have to share this with you. As mentioned, there's a pastor who's actually protesting his own church.
Yes.
This is the Reverend Michael Tupper, I presume. You're in radio, so you know this story.
Yes.
United Methodist Church, this is a hoot. Now, he is boycotting the Methodist denomination because they will not allow their pastors, he's one of them, to marry gay people. And so he's protesting himself, basically. This is a trend that we hope doesn't grow, but it is almost certainly bound to. Would you agree?
I would agree. And, you know, what's interesting about the United Methodist is it has been the faithful orthodoxy, largely of the African wing of the UMC, that has prevented the UMC from going in that direction like the other mainline denominations
for the last 10
years. Yeah. That
is very interesting to me, that because I haven't heard that observation about the Methodist denomination, but that's very true of Anglicanism. It is the African Anglicans who have basically forced the issue regarding Episcopalianism and the gay issue. That's interesting.
Yeah,
now,
it is.
This particular fellow, this is the trend that you need to watch for. This is a minister who was ordained by the United Methodist, who, guess what? 6 years ago, his daughter Sarah came out to him as a lesbian. And that is so common. Somebody meets an individual, they're nice, they love them, they don't want to have to toe the theological line, so they compromise their theology. And his quote was this, "I choose to do that. All of a sudden, it became so clear to me the discrimination against LGBT people in the church." It's not discrimination, Janet. It's lovingly telling them, we don't want you to die in your sin. How do we respond to this thrust of an argument?
It's a terrible argument. First of all, they've hijacked the word discrimination. We use discrimination, for example, when we hire a babysitter. And if I have a girl come to my house with spiky hair and she's smoking a cigarette and she's belching and talking on the phone with her friends, I'm thinking, not so sure this is going to be the right babysitter for my kids.
You know, it could be a youth pastor, though. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So just
could be a youth pastor.
We can discriminate. That's not what this is.
No, and I think it's really not loving your child. When you look at the CDC's list of health risks of that kind of behavior, there are health reasons you should be concerned about your child. There are social reasons. There are moral and spiritual reasons. And ultimately, it comes down to salvation. You cannot be an unrepentant sinner of any sort of sin and enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is clear on that, and it's not a game. And if we really love people, we'll tell them the truth, knowing that it's an exceptionally unpopular thing to say in this culture.
Yeah, most certainly is. And so look for more pastors, especially in more liberal denominations. Mainline Protestantism, most likely the first dominoes to fall. They already have. In fact, Janet, somebody observed this. This was not my original idea, that the culture is actually following the church. The church is not following the culture. We are leading it on the gay issue when, for instance, V. Gene Robinson, Episcopalianism, other sects of Christianity started ordaining gay people, doing gay any sort of gay acceptance without repentance. And so the culture merely followed our lead, and I'm afraid that we can look forward to more and more of that. All right, Janet, it's always a joy to talk to you. Check out Janet's program, JanetMefford.com, JanetMefford.com. By the way, can I just tell you something, Janet? Besides, nobody's sure. listening to this anyway, so this is just between sure. you and me.
Sure.
I spent some time with Rich Bott of the Bott Radio Network.
Yes.
Honestly, he has become the sweetest man. He was like staggeringly godly and kind and
yep.
warm. It was really a joy.
He is. He's a really, really sweet man. That's a good way to put it. I love him. The Botts have been so great to me. They cleared my show on all their stations, and without them, it would be hard to do a show. But they've been so
right.
supportive. They're great.
Yeah, and they don't plagiarize a thing. All right, had to sneak that in. Janet Mefford of JanetMefford.com. Check out her program on the Bott Radio Network and other stations. This is Wretched Radio.
Pornography. It's everywhere, and no one's immune. That's why we bring you Todd Friel's latest book, Slaying the Lust Dragon. According to a Pure Life Ministries poll, 68% of evangelical men view pornography. And that same poll finds 50% of evangelical pastors admit to viewing pornography. Slaying the Lust Dragon, Todd's latest book at wretchedradio.com. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Have you lost a child, beloved? Are you wondering if God is fair? And if He is God, why He didn't intervene? You prayed and prayed, and God never came to your rescue. Why did He allow it to happen? Doesn't God care? Doesn't He know how painful it is? How long the nights are? How endless the tears? Your child was cut off in the midst of life. He never knew the length of days apportioned to most men. The old still live, the young has died, and a part of your heart is gone. How are you going to live with your sorrow, make it through the rest of your days? The one who, according to Romans 8, did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will freely give you all things. He's there. He cares. He knows about you. He'll weep with you. He's the God of all comfort. This is Kay Arthur with Precepts from God's Word.
What is discernment? Nope, it's not a feeling. No, it's not a sense. Discernment is knowing. Knowing the difference between true and almost true. Discernment is knowing when mere bad teaching becomes false teaching. It's knowing when a preacher makes a mistake or is actually a wolf. Discernment is knowing. Drive by discernment at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Reach beyond your world with New Tribes Mission.
Hi, I'm Carl with New Tribes Mission. Listen to what a Yimby Yimby man has to say. Brother, it all started with Lawrence dying. I tell you the truth, I have never seen anyone die that way before. Before, in this village, anyone who has died has been scared, really scared. You can see it in their eyes. They shake with fear and yell and scream with terror. But not Lawrence. It was amazing to see. He would close his eyes and talk about how he looked forward to seeing Jesus and not having pain anymore. He looked so happy. I could tell he was really a child of God. Brother, I have never seen anyone die like that before, and it changed my walk on this earth forever. Now I know God's talk is really true.
It's more than a story. Reach beyond your world.com.
Wretched Radio's exalted worship is a refreshing change from today's mind-numbingly repetitious worship music. Old-fashioned? Oh, yeah. Theologically rich? Count on it. Scott Crepane leads you in great hymns like Holy, Holy, Holy and Praise to the Lord.
Kirk Cameron brings you great Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision. So get your copy of Exalted Worship today at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not that you and I need help with this, but this is Wretched Radio. How to provoke your children to anger. Something that I specialize in, so I thought I would share some of my experience.
I've good at this proven too? To be a quick learner.
Yeah. Kind of a natural talent.
Maybe we should just move on then if we've
let's see how they did.
From the Aquila Report. We can provoke our children to anger by constantly criticizing them, never encouraging them, when they feel they can never please us enough. Fine balance, fine line, that. You want to be encouraging, but I don't think we want to lie either. I read an article the other day that was kind of making the rounds, kind of torn on it because I get it. But it seems to me we Christians need to do better when it comes to encouraging our kids, especially our girls, regarding the issue of looks. This particular article, it was at some gospel site. Basically, you've got to tell your daughters they're beautiful. Just tell them a lot, because the message that they're getting from the world is you're ugly, because they compare themselves to models, they compare themselves to what they see on TV or the internet. And they feel like they come up lacking. They probably do, because those images have been, well, let's just say tampered with a bit. They've been worked on a little bit more than you would imagine. So, of course, they fall short. So this woman's advice was, so just trust me on this. You need to keep telling your daughter she's beautiful. Now, she's not going to believe you because she's going to think, well, Dad just tells me that because that's what dads do. But she still needs to hear it. That was basically the thrust of the article. And I thought, we can do better than that, can't we? Here's something to ponder with trying to encourage your daughter and have her not feel just devastated, leading to many different potential emotional issues. How do we handle this? How do we deal with this? Well, I think we need to start with, what does the Bible say about beauty? And the Bible says that God does not put a high premium on it. Very, very rarely. I think the number is 6 times, and I think it's only in the Old Testament, is somebody described by their looks. And I'm not even sure why the Bible did that with both Saul and David, are the two that I remember. Why? Why did it tell us that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else when height is not some sort of biblical attribute that we should be striving for? If it were, I'd be way godlier than you. But it's not. It's just a description that says he was tall and he was handsome. Short of those references in the Bible, you see actually the opposite of an emphasis on beauty. You see what? Character. Internal, not external. What about Jesus himself? Isaiah 53 says nothing about him to attract us to him. Nothing visual that would cause people to go, yeah, let's follow that guy. He's a silver-tongued fellow and movie star good-looking. Let's go after... Nope. Not good looking. And yet, people flocked to him because he was God in flesh. How could they not? Now, that'll both repel and attract because you see the amazing attributes of God displayed in Jesus Christ. But then you also get that conviction like, wow, I'm not even close to that standard. But people follow Jesus not for his looks. What does it say about women? What did Timothy say? Paul say to Timothy, to the women... No, don't work on the outward. Work on the inward. Don't, that external beauty. That's okay, you can deal with it. You can gussy yourself up and make yourself look your best for your spouse, but that's not the important the attribute. It's the internal, the godliness, a gentle and quiet spirit. I didn't say a silenced woman, but just a woman who's not a nag. A woman who doesn't carp. Gentle spirit. So with that in mind, should we be telling our daughters, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. Just trust me, you're beautiful. I'm telling you, you're beautiful. Well, there's a couple of problems with that on the face of it. What if they're not? What if they're not? What if they're just average-looking children? You know, there actually are some kids that, based on our society standards, which I grant you, they're, it's a moving target, because what is beautiful today was not what it was 100 years ago, nor what it was in a different culture, nor what it is in, for instance, a different continent. What about the first century? Different ways of looking at beauty. But what if by today's standard they're not? You're beautiful, honey, and they're not. That's lying. What does a father do to help encourage their child, especially their daughters? And this, frankly, this would apply to sons. Maybe it's athletics. The kid's not very good. I see this a lot. Every parent is angry that their kid does not play enough. Maybe their ability to view the child's skills is not very objective. The coach has a better set of eyes. Maybe your kid's not as good as the other ones. So what do you say? No, you're a good baseball player. You should be in there. What if they're not? We want to be sensitive. We want to be thoughtful. I get that. I get that. I've got a boy and girls. I get both genders here. But maybe we need to be more profound and teach our girls, you know, the world system is anything outside of God's morals, God's rules, God's values, and God's plan of salvation. It's run by the devil, who's the father of lies, and his modus operandi is to lie. That means the system that he has in the world lies. That means when you watch those red carpet shows, that's a lie. It's a lie. They're peddling you a worldview, and it's a hard one to resist, because you'll get it in schools, you're going to get it in the culture. Beauty reigns, not in God's perspective. So we're going to have to start learning how to think of ourselves more how God judges, what God's values are, and start listening to him. Even if the world mocks, even if the world laughs, even if the world yells, even if the world taunts, the world system lies. And we can't listen to lies, honey. So you know what we're going to work on? We're going to work on inner beauty. And I'm going to tell you something, my daughter. You work on those attributes. Any man in the world who isn't a fool will desire you to be his wife. A fool won't want those things. A fool... You want to win Justin Bieber? Then get to the gym 17 times a day and start throwing up immediately. But if you don't want Justin Bieber and you want somebody who's mature and godly, let's work on the inside things and encourage those. And maybe instead of lying or pretending or kind of skirting the issue, send your encouragement toward the things that God wants to grow inside of us. Then we can be encouraging without lying, and we can be trying to grow our kids in the areas where they need to grow. Now, I get it. It's hard. What if you never say to your daughter, you're beautiful? Now, can you say to me, you're beautiful? You bet, in my eyes, you're beautiful. I love you. But I got to tell you something. It's not because of your external beauty. I think you are. You can, I believe you can say that, and that's genuine. But if it's, you know, how do I look compared to the supermodel? How do I look compared to? You might, most likely, you're going to find yourself in pretty choppy water. Let's focus on the attributes that God wants to grow and really pour that on. Honey, I just watched the way you, wow, the way you treated that kid. That's amazing. The way that you just helped your mom, that was, wow, is that ever spectacular to watch? That honesty you just exhibited, even though it got you in trouble? Wow, the humility by coming home and saying you got a D on the test, that is amazing. And that's what we encourage. Otherwise, frankly, I think you could be provoking your daughter to anger by telling her she's beautiful when she looks in the mirror and she recognizes, not really. Not that she might not become that, but that's not the attribute that we should really be pushing. Internal. Not external. Otherwise, I think you might actually provoke them to anger. And you might have some trust issues. How else can you provoke your child to anger by having double standards? Do as I say, not as I do. anger, harshness, lack of affection, by telling them what to do or not do without giving biblical reasons. Just, hey, because I said so, that's enough for you. Should be. But then at least explain why they should do it because you said so. And probably dial it back to about 7 on the volume scale. By being offended at their sin because it bothers us, not because it offends God, or it embarrasses us. That's a bigger one, isn't it? I am so ashamed of you. No child of mine should act like that. People will think less of me. That's what we're really saying. You want to make your kid angry? Embarrass them. Correct. Mock. Or be exasperated or disappointed in front of others. That always does the trick. That's a good one. That's a fail-safe one. By always lecturing them, never listening to them, always assuming they've got it wrong, always assuming there isn't an explanation. I see it, the end. By disciplining them for childishness or weakness, not for sin. Kids are kids. Don't be exasperated that your child is not as holy as you are. And by the way, if you've never had that feeling, then chances are very good you're not very holy yourself. Because our kids shouldn't be where we are, should they? If you've been in Christ longer, and in most instances that's the case, shouldn't you be more sanctified, mature, and wise? Don't expect your kid to be at that level. And by the way, when you enter into the teenage years, get ready for that one. You learn that lesson or not at your own peril. Kids have to biff it. They have to biff it. You have to let them do some stuff. Now, I'm not saying get into trouble or get in harm's way. But if they think, no, this is the brilliant plan, and you know that it's not going to cause danger, okay, we'll talk about it when you finish that project. You want to make your kid angry? Fail to ask their forgiveness when we sin against them. Pride, failing to receive humble correction from our spouses or our children when we sin. By self-centered reactions to their sin. How could you do this to me? By ungracious reactions to their sins. What were you thinking? By the way, that's a sign you've forgotten the first message of the gospel. You can read that article at our Facebook page, or you can also read it at the Christian Post if you can find it. Ways that we forget the gospel. That's one of them. What were you thinking, sinner? Can't believe you sinned, you sinner. Forgetting the first message of the gospel, which is, we're really bad sinners. Second message, Jesus, very good Savior. Typically, when we're exasperated with people, it's because we're forgetting the first message of the gospel. By forgetting that we were and are sinners. I would never have done that at your age, which is one of the lines that I use in the 7 signs you're forgetting the gospel. Oh, when I was your age. When I was your age, what? When I was your age, the unspoken word is, when I was your age, I never did that. Never did what? Sinned. When we fail to use big biblical language, we regularly will miss the point and probably have the wrong reaction. So, for instance, if we just, our kid stole the neighbor's bike, and if you just, what? You did what? I can't believe you did that! If you just replace that with sinned, it sounds a lot different. I can't believe you just sinned, which is stupid sounding, isn't it? Or maybe you might be, maybe it's slightly better to say, I can't believe you sinned like that, but it's still the same conclusion. You're forgetting the gospel. Replace rather generic terms. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, here's a good example. This was a tweet that was sent in by Angie. Angie, thanks for always sending tweets. This is from Millennial Puritan. Oxymoron! Millennial Puritan tweets, is there a biblical warrant for using the word mistake as a synonym for sin? If not, stop it. Stop it now. Jesus didn't die for oopsies. Label it biblically and you will be staggered at the consequences and the results and your attitude in responding, as opposed to generic terms or unbiblical terms, because you, by using biblical terms, will find your way to the gospel. And that is precisely where you need to be. This is Wretched Radio. If you are involved in Sunday school, or you have homeschoolers, or You're just a Christian. Would you please think about getting Life is Best, our brand new, thanks to you, 13-episode pro-life TV show to teach the saints how to defend life. It is gospel-saturated and profoundly helpful in a culture of death. Please consider getting a copy of Life is Best at wretchedradio.com.
What do you mean there's a sign warning us to stay out of the water? There's nothing wrong with this water.
What do you mean I must be saved? I'm in no danger.
The water's not too deep. There's no current here. I don't see any reason for there to be a warning sign.
I'm not a bad person. I get along with people. I believe there's a God. Why do I need to be saved?
Oh, that sign's so old, I'm sure any dangers there were are long gone.
Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. It can't possibly apply to me now.
Every day we receive some form of warning. Jesus warned us that we must be saved, that our very lives, where we spend eternity, depends on our relationship with Him. You can either listen to or reject His warning. What's your choice?
I don't know why that sign's still here, but come on in! There's no danger here, the water's fine! Trust me!
A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-52-FUNNY. At lifelinepro.com.
Here at Wretched, our goal, our desire, is to proclaim the gospel to as many people as possible in a clear, concise, and accurate way. The biggest project is our ongoing campaign to do that, to distribute the biggest question DVDs through local churches. Hundreds of volunteers are ready to distribute the gospel if you can help us financially provide the biggest question DVDs. Any help? Go to wretchedradio.com for all the details, and thank you for helping us reach more people with the amazing gospel. Now here's a clip of one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Adrian Rogers.
Remember, reckoning is a bookkeeping term where God, when He justifies you, takes all of those things that you've done and takes them off this side of the ledger, and He puts them over here on this side of the ledger, on Jesus' side of the ledger. He takes all of your sin and He puts them on Jesus' side of the ledger. And Jesus writes across all of those sins, paid in full with the crimson blood of Calvary. But justification is not finished yet. Then God takes all of the righteousness, the holiness, and the purity of Jesus Christ that is inherently His, and He takes that and He puts it on this side of the ledger, on your side of the ledger. And the Bible says He imputes to you righteousness. Now, friend, that is called justification. Now, when that happens, we are clean. And when we're clean, dear friend, we have this great, great joy.
Jesus Unmasked was written for new believers, confused believers, and unbelievers. It reveals over 30 pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament and confronts unbelievers with the undeniable conclusion, Jesus is Lord. With the gospel proclaimed in every chapter, Jesus Unmasked would make a great handout. So get to the Wretched store and check out the special 10-pack pricing for Jesus Unmasked at wretchedradio.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
See, that's why, instead of watching those contentious debates, you should have been watching American Idol.
No.
This is Wretched Radio. No. I don't even know if it was on the same night, but right at the end of this year hour on Wretched Radio, Joey, 4.5 minutes. 4.5 minutes before the end of the hour, you need to disrupt whatever I'm doing, because I'm going to share with you, uninterrupted, about a 3.5 minute song. Sung by Kelly Clarkson on American Idol. I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday, whatever night it was on. This was sent to me at idea@wretchedradio.com. She sang a song, and I will confess to you, it is not Christian in nature. There are no Bible verses. The theology is not overt. But it's a song that I think is worth listening to, because you will hear the ache of a young woman who, even though successful, it would appear, experienced a trauma in her early childhood that still crushes her to this day. What was that traumatic event? We'll tell you with 4.5 minutes. See what I... That's
another radio tease in
Thank
one day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. There's going to... You're going to get some award at NRB next year. I'll just tell you that much if we keep up this professional business. So we will do that for you with 4.5 minutes to go. But would like to share with you now because this is... You'll have to hear this for yourself to believe it. I mentioned earlier this week that somebody, I do not know who put this together and found this, they found a psychic who was making her predictions for the year 2013. And then they sliced it with a preacher in Africa where things are overall just bizarre, wonky, off the rails in Christendom because of the influence of the NAR. And so they sliced together. Here's this, and it's she's got her candles. So think as creepy seance-y as you can. And that's this woman giving her predictions for 2013. And then an African pastor giving his messages to the congregation that he received from God for 2015.
Now, the first thing that I got is pork contamination around the world. There will be a new strain of pork disease. People will be afraid to buy pork, and much less will be consumed. The pork business will take a hit.
But I want to tell you, Lord says, stay away from pork next year. He didn't tell me that not so much because it's not good for you as much. You know, it really ain't good for you, but more because there's a disease gonna hit the pigs.
Huh? You say, well,
sounded vaguely familiar.
That's just a coincidence.
Watch George P. Bush rise in politics in 2015. He has the charm and personality of his father, Jeb, and the intelligence of his grandfather. But as George P. Bush's political star rises, his grandfather, George Sr., diminishes. I see George Sr.'s health taking a turn for the worse, and he does cross in 2015.
Coming to George P. Bush
becomes
was
Catholic.
Gonna rise to power. I believe that's Jeb Bush's son. He said to me that the daddy...
God said to me.
President Bush Sr. looked like I saw him. I saw his health take a turn for the worse. And ultimately, he got out of here.
Okay. This would be a possibility. This is so ridiculous. I almost wonder if they took the guy's clip and then set this woman up, because this is just absolutely one. Somebody is guilty of some sort of plagiarism. Not that plagiarism matters anymore. Doris Kearns Goodwin, or Vice President Biden.
Patterns continue in America. Watch the East Coast get hit a lot with these violent storms, power outages up and down the East Coast. Also, mid-states see an increase in storms and power outages. Huge fires in California. Please be careful. Now, I'm in Pennsylvania here. I wasn't happy to get this prediction, but those of us on the East Coast, we're really going to get hit, especially Florida. Really, Florida.
That's a bold prediction.
My guide said, those of you in Boca Raton, the house has come down this time. So please, everybody, I keep saying buy generators and have survival kits. We're just going to continue to get extreme weather, East Coast. And again, a little bit in the middle states there. And California, watch your fires. California.
Fires in California. Ooh, that's bold.
The East Coast is going to have a whole lot of storms. Like the hurricanes are going to be crazy this year. Hurricanes or storms. I mean, so bad that up and down the East Coast, there's going to be a lot of power outages.
Man.
A lot of power outages. Up and down the East Coast. As I told you, if you got any family in Boca Raton, Florida, that's rich people too. But if you got any family down there, just tell them to be very prayerful. When they tell them a storm is going to hit that area, listen to them because it's going to hit. And I saw houses going down. California going to have a whole lot of fires this year.
Like I've heard this somewhere before.
There are four more of these. I think we all have the point, don't we? This is just a taste of the nonsense that goes on in these African churches because of the influence of, yes, paganism, yes, witchcraft, but also the new apostolic reformation movement. This is the same type of thing that they do. We've heard it before. They stand and say, okay, God's telling me, God's speaking to me. Here you go. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. Now, as a complete aside, when you listen to that fellow, did you notice anything about his oratory skills or lack thereof? Not a good orator. Just not even articulate with... God is telling, and just bad professional speaking. By the way, I noticed when we were driving back and forth from Nashville for the NRB convention, we listened to Phil Johnson's sermons. I think I heard something extraordinary from Phil Johnson, and I've listened to hours of Phil Johnson. I heard Phil Johnson say, and that is an indefinite article. He actually had an, Phil is so good in everything that he does. His speak, it's never littered with, never. He'll even stop talking instead of filling it with blather because he's a disciplined speaker as opposed to this fellow. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. We won't be getting an award. How come? This will just take a second. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, I wouldn't blame you for that. Okay. Yeah, maybe 2018. Okay, gotta go. Love your programming. Bye. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll just carry on here. We were temporarily excited that, because we did two professional radio teases here on Wretched, that we might be earning some sort of an award next year at the NRB convention, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. That's not going to be happening because it was just pointed out to me. I missed the opportunity to plug the Lost Generation from our conversation about Ben Shapiro at California State, Los Angeles. So not going to happen. I completely biffed the opportunity to say, you know, the shutting down of free speech on the college campuses, it's continuing. That's why we are making a new TV show called The Lost Generation. And if you'd like to help us do that, you can find out more at wretchedradio.com. But because I failed to do that, no award for us. Speaking of speaking at the university campuses, do you remember when John Cleese appeared on the Bill Maher program? He was pitching some new book. They talked about postmodernism. They talked about the Islam, and you can't make fun of them or say anything negative about them because, well, they'll kill you. This was another clip from John Cleese recently talking about how postmodernism is having an effect on college campuses.
If people can't control their own emotions, then they have to start trying to control other people's behavior. And when you're around super sensitive people, you cannot relax and be spontaneous because you have no idea what's going to upset them next. And that's why I've been warned recently, don't go to most university campuses, because the political correctness has been taken from being a good idea, which is let's not be mean, particularly to people who are not able to look after themselves very well. That's a good idea, to the point where any kind of criticism of any individual or group can be labeled cruel.
That's us. We are labeled cruel, which is why free speech is going to be shutting down, in my opinion, very soon on the college campuses. And that's why we're going to make The Lost Generation. If you'd like to help us with that effort to reach those kids with the gospel, confront their worldview, expose what's going on, you can do so at wretchedradio.com. I'm sorry, Joey, what did you say?
You now have 4 minutes.
All righty, then. This would be Kelly Clarkson playing this in hopes that maybe a dad who's thinking about walking out the door shouldn't.
And all I remember is your back. Walking towards the airport, leaving us all in your past. I traveled 1,500 miles to see you. begged you to want me, but you didn't want to.
Ouch.
But piece by piece, he collected me up off the ground where you abandoned things. Yeah, piece by piece, he filled the holes that you burned in me. Yeah, 6 years old, and you know, he never walks away. He never asks for money. He takes care of me, 'cause he loves me. Piece by piece, he restored my faith that a man can be kind and a father could stay.
When we break God's design.
Something of myself, and now you wanna come back. But your love, it isn't free, it has to be earned. Back then I didn't have anything you needed, so I was worthless.
Designed for one man and one woman to stay together. Man who walks away from his children isn't. Dad, if you're growing weary, a little tired, don't. Until next time, go serve your king.